Everybody ready?
Yep.
Let's go!
Ahsoka!
Four Midwest Guys presents... Star Wars Rebels HQ.
Battles leave scores. Some you can't see.
All across. I'm afraid it's changing.
I will never let my friends get hurt again.
Your anger gives you strength.
Governor Price, these rebels have proven particularly stubborn. How do you intend to solve this problem?
I need someone who sees a bigger picture.
To defeat an enemy, you must know them, not simply their battle tactics, but their history, philosophy, art.
I must become more powerful.
Split the treasure.
Oh, that's a classic.
One last glorious day in the Grand Army of the Republic.
Jedi and Sith, the light and the dark.
They'll be the architects of their own destruction.
The key destroying the Sith.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Four Midwest Guys Presents Star Wars Rebels HQ. Today we'll be reviewing Season 3, Episode 6, The Last Battle, and help me do that is my brother Aaron.
How's it going, man?
How's it going, dude? And Mr. Ankenbauer's back.
What's up?
What's going on, guys? All right, so let's get into the what I like to call the love letter to the Clone Wars fans, The Last Battle. This episode, we open up with the basically a salvage mission, I guess, and they're stopped on Agamar as the planet. And they're there to, I guess, find surplus from the clone from a Clone Wars battle. You see, they even ask, are you going to be okay? And they're like, oh, well, we got a Clone Wars veteran, so we'll be just fine. Not expecting to find anything, but obviously they do.
Yeah, I mean, it'd probably be a far less interesting, you know, episode if they just go in, retrieve the proton bombs, and then just leave.
Well, I think it's kind of an interesting idea to see them actually look for surplus from the Clone Wars as well, because that's something I would have done, too. Mm-hmm. Now that we know the full story, now that they've told the prequels, you know, if I was a rebel, I'd be trying to pull from that,
too. Oh, yeah. I mean, as many, you know, ammunition deposits as you can find, the better. I mean, it's like some kind of strategy you'd have, like, in a basic video game, right?
Right, pretty much.
I mean, it's just funny that, you know, the Empire hasn't already done that.
Like, they haven't gone on a retrieving mission?
Yes. You would think that they would have already done that just so that no one else would have that.
You would think so, but if you look at, like, a lot of, like, historical wars, like, there's a lot of times you just have, like, random either bombs or mines or just, you know, deposits of guns that are just kind of left lying around. Like, it costs more to go around retrieving them all than it does just to abandon them.
What a good point, though, Brian. As Palpatine, I would probably want to dearm everybody. I would be all about taking guns and weapons and everything
else. The funny thing is, like, outside of, like, disarming the Jedis, he doesn't really seem to go after, like, he's not enacted, like, any sort of, like, firearms thing within the Empire. Like, there doesn't seem to be, like, he doesn't seem to have an issue with, like, mercenaries of any kind.
Well, I think they just kind of exist as out there as the underworld. Mm. I think he kind of leaves the underworld alone, yeah. I don't think we see him really, because the Hutts are still around, obviously. We know that from like Jedi.
He seems to be kind of just tolerate their existence.
Yeah, I think he needs them to a certain extent to probably help keep control before the Death Star, anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can make the argument that, from a populist standpoint, they could act as kind of a alternative to the Empire as, like, a boogeyman sort of characters, right?
Yeah, kind of, sort of, or it's kind of like... you know, well, there's a lot of underhanded dealings going on, too, you know, that he can't control and stuff like that, black market stuff. That's where the smugglers come in, so that whole element part of Star Wars has always been there.
Yeah, well, then even with mercenaries, there could be an argument that there might be certain missions they might be better suited for than stormtroopers.
In fact, not to get ahead, but the next episode that they're going to release, which not this week, but next Saturday, is about Mandalorians who have joined the Empire in, like, an elite Mandalorian / Stormtrooper kind of thing.
Okay.
But we'll get more to that later. But good conversation, nonetheless. So, they're looking for the old surplus, like we said. you know, and almost from the time Rex hits the ground, Rex is almost having flashbacks right from the get-go. This whole episode, he's having kind of flashbacks, but right from the get-go, he's like, General Kanan, Commander General Kanan, whatever.
Mm.
So
it's he was thrust back into kind of a familiar scenario, and he kind of had that old programming kind of kick in for him.
Yeah, literally. And they kind of get into that later, that, you know, that it's not just the robots that had programming, but the clones were bred and programmed genetically for fighting and for that.
Well, I thought they actually also had, like, some sort of, like training thing, like, that was, like, a program in their head.
They had, like, a chip, and that's where Order 66 comes from. That's where they rebel against the Jedi. They kind of, the chip.
Well, they were,
he's had his removed. But
a lot of the clones were, like, aged, like, artificially, right? Like, at an advanced speed. So you'd have to have something to kind of compensate education in that as well, I would assume.
Yeah, they were given, you know, I'm sure they were fed some sort of genetic programming. Like he said they, you know, it's part of their programming to be soldiers, to be active in war and combat and whatnot. So, but yeah, we'll explore a little bit of that later. But I kind of liked how Ezra found an old head of an old battle droid. And he's like, these things don't look very menacing.
Yeah, they never really did.
And obviously Rex just comes on him. He's like, those things killed thousands of my friends, thousands and not tens of thousands.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the issue with the droids was not necessarily that individually they were powerful. They were just in massive units.
Yeah, exactly. Which was the whole strategy behind them. It wasn't, because they're not accurate at all. It's just, there was just tons of them.
Yeah, essentially. It's just, there are as many droids that have a blaster on the field. See what happens.
Yeah, we also hear that what he calls robots clankers. That's where that comes from. It's from the Clone Wars as well. So that's another reference or throwback, I guess. So eventually they move on, and we're inside the weapons depot, and basically it's guarded by a ray shield. And Ezra's like, "What's a ray shield?" And bam, they're hit with a ray shield. Because they're going after those proton bombs they actually find, which is what they're there for. But I thought it was kind of funny that, you know, it's kind of funny to see the two, the prequel era starting to mix with the classic trilogy era. Because the ray shield was definitely something we saw in the prequel era that
hasn't really been utilized
in the classic. So a lot of mixing. This is...
Well, I mean, it's one of those funny things. Like, you look at, like, the prequel films, and there's a lot of technology that never shows up, like, in the classic trilogy. Mm-hmm. So, it's things like the Clone Wars cartoons and this that really do kind of have to mingle it a little bit. Otherwise, you just have that kind of continuity error sort of thing. Like, you can't really explain, like...
Yeah, well, that's the big disconnect.
Yeah, like... No. That seems like that's actually a pretty useful tool. Why is that never used again?
Why did you have that technology in the prequels but not in the other one?
But up until this point, the whole explanation was even for the explanation going into the classic Star Wars, is that the galaxy has been ravaged by the Clone Wars.
Well, yeah, but I mean...
Just torn apart,
when you assume that Palpatine actually used the droid army and then creates the Empire... You would think you'd still use some of the technology for the Empire that was useful.
Well, yeah,
when the Rebels don't use the technology, they're just putting stuff together. That's fine, but from the Empire's point of view, they really should be using every advanced technology they could have and are still capable of using.
And it's a fair point, because I've always thought that Palpatine would want to keep the droid armies around, that they might be a little bit more useful and more be able to control them more than you do a stormtrooper.
Well,
which are now recruited, obviously, we found out.
Well, I mean, it seems like there'd be advantages to using them in higher numbers than just wiping them out.
Yeah.
Essentially.
So.
Like, you could use them for, you know, just scouting missions, if nothing else.
Yeah.
To send them out into space, see if they find random planets.
Something. I've always found that funny. The only thing I can think of is there's this thing that the Emperor is racist and that he only likes to use humans in his military and as far as, you know...
him racist?
Yeah.
By using robots?
Against robots, yeah.
It's not really racist.
Well, okay, robotist, whatever.
Specious?
However you want to call it.
I mean, the funny thing about that is, though, like, the entire prequels depend on him using the droid army, though.
Against the Republic, yes.
Maybe that's the catalyst. Maybe it's one of those things where he just doesn't like artificial intelligence and thinks one day, like, you know,
like he can't Jedi mind trick him, so he's just like, I don't trust.
Again, so he's like, he thinks like the Terminator's going to come and kill him off, and
well, he's also, but then again, he's so manipulative. Maybe that's what he uses, because we see even in Episode 4, you get the bartender. We don't serve their kind here. You know, your droids are going to have to wait outside. There are people that fucking hate droids. You know, after the Clone War.
Yeah.
You know, because their families have been killed by them or whatever. Mm. So, I don't know, maybe that's just an excuse. That he's pretty manipulative, so I wouldn't put it past him. He's,
I don't know.
Especially after what we saw in the prequels with how they made Palpatine, you know, this... I always, until before the prequels, I always saw the Emperor as this, like, just this bad guy. I mean, he was just out to do evil, but...
They made him, like, manipulative, like Caesar-like
super character. Manipulative, yeah, very much so. Like, he's... like the mastermind of masterminds, and you know, being able to play both sides against each other, and
yeah,
it was something, to Ian McDiarmid's credit, I thought was a very highlight of the prequels in bringing that side.
It makes Palpatine a more like three dimensional character,
very much so.
Whereas before, he's just like magic wizard in space.
Well, yeah, he's just like friends. I don't know why you need friends. Turn to the dark side. You know, something dark side. But, you know, that's all he was up until the prequels.
Something, something dark side.
That's it, you know. So, I don't know. But we're getting off track again. Sorry. But the other thing I thought was funny about this scene is you hear the battle droids go, it's the return of Roger, Roger.
Yeah.
And Ezra's like, who's Roger?
Yep.
And I think that's a point, though, that Ezra doesn't understand. He was born on the last day of the Clone War, or the victory day of the Clone War. So he has no idea what any of this means.
He didn't have to deal with any of it. It was like a previous generation's baggage.
Exactly. It's like kids today, you know, in 9/11. They have no... We remember it, but they have no... You know, what is it? The kids in high school now, I think, have no... It's all history to them.
This year's freshman class.
That's what it was, yeah.
We'll be taught 9/11 as a history because it didn't happen while they were alive.
While they were alive, yeah.
So weird.
So strange. But it's kind of the same thing here, you know. He's only heard stories and rumors and, you know, Rex tell stories and what he's heard from Kanan and stuff, so. But, all right, so moving on to into the Separatist headquarters. Again, Rex kind of wakes up from because they stun him. He wakes up and we hear him call out for Cody, who was another Clone Wars trooper. And he was actually, Cody is actually the commander that goes after Obi-Wan Kenobi in, when Execute Order 66 happens in Revenge of the Sith. That's the guy with the yellow. When they shoot at him, he's the one that gives him his lightsaber right before Order 66, and then they shoot at him. That's Cody.
Okay.
Just to give some reference. So, again, he's having flashbacks, almost Vietnam War flashback-like kind of things.
What is it?
Kinda
PTSD.
PTSD, almost. Because he sees the droids, and he sees, you know, he's like, the war's not over, you know, holy crap.
Yeah, like, it definitely has that sort of feel. Like, you definitely see him kind of going back, and he's in his head. And
yeah, exactly.
It's weird, like, the other combat scenarios actually don't really seem to do that with the character as much as just dealing with the droid specifically.
Yeah, this is kind of the first episode where we see, like, you know, the long range effects of the Clone Wars on a clone, you know, on a trooper. It's
a very mentally taxing.
Well, sure. Sort of thing, yeah. And this is where we get that famous line that we saw in the trailer from Kanan, you know, battles leave scars, some you can't see, you know, and that's kind of what he's dealing with this whole time.
Yeah. Really.
So. We're introduced to the super tactical droid. Not just a tactical droid, but a super tactical droid.
Next season we will have the mega super tactical droid, followed by the ultra mega super tactical droid.
Is that where they form? They bring all the five lions together and form Voltron?
Yeah, I think so.
Just checking.
They become the ultimate tactical droid.
This one actually has a name. I don't remember any of these tactical droids in Clone Wars having names, but this one has a name. His name is Kalani. I'm not sure where it comes from, or he gave it to himself. I always remembered him as just having designation numbers and stuff like that, but hey. All right, so...
It's been a long time since the Clone Wars. He got bored.
He got bored, decided to give himself a name, I guess. I don't know. I kind of like the idea that this guy is so smart, that he thought that the shutdown code from Order 66 was actually a Republic trick, which is kind of interesting.
Well,
and he stopped it.
You can make the argument it's a little paranoid, but yeah.
But yeah, that, I mean, that's
an interesting.
But he's a super tactical droid. That's why he thought that, because he's super.
Yeah, but then he's just like, I'm going to spend the next 30 years fighting a war that's not happening.
Well, if you got nothing else to do, and that's all you're a tactician, you know, I'm going to run this program over and over, this war game over and over again.
You know, it's funny, as we watch this happen, I wonder how many more of these type of places there are where there's a super tactical droid that
said, I don't think so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, there had to be at least a couple, because you actually do see, like, the stormtroopers that come later on to deal with the droids. They're like, oh, you know the protocol for this. And then they start shooting them.
But they also say you don't see many of these anymore. Which, yeah. I was going to talk about it later, but yeah, that was kind of a cool moment for me to see
Stormtroopers
versus the battle droids.
Well, it's just one of those things, like, if there is, like, any form of protocol for dealing, like, apparently when they do survive, they actually do form large units or nest sort of things.
Yeah, maybe.
So clearly it does happen.
I guess it has.
There's stormtroopers that are referencing it anyway.
I don't know if they were talking about them or if they were just saying this is what we always do.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So I don't know if it was necessarily about them or if this is, all right, let's do what we always have to do. Let's blast them.
Once again, you go back to the droids, you know, position on, like, how they win wars. It's just by sending in as many as possible.
Yeah.
So if any survive, they probably did form groups and...
Yeah. Well, it's possible. I won't say it's impossible. It's just up till now, this is the first time we've seen it in lore, but... You know, it's really the stormtroopers have the same. It's the same thing, though. It's just send in mass amounts of stormtroopers.
The funny thing is, like, it more or less just means that in the Star Wars universe, you just have these random abandoned military bases that are more or less just dungeons.
Well, yeah, that's why.
With, like, random gear.
Well, that's why by the time you get to New Hope, it's so dirty looking. That's why it's used universe, Star Wars used universe. It's because the galaxy has been torn apart for years by the Clone Wars, and this is what's left. The Empire has squeezed all the resources from the galaxy since, or is starting to, and now that's all that's new is the Empire. The Empire is the new, the pristine. Everything else is just whatever anybody can find and scrape together kind of thing. So, at least that's what they say. Alright, so, kind of on a funny side note about Order 66, it was actually given by Darth Vader on Mustafar, on / Anakin, when he says, you know, the Emperor says... Give the shutdown command. All droid units must shut down.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you make the argument that's arguably just him following the Emperor's orders as well.
Well, it was. It's just, I just thought it was interesting that this tactical droid disobeyed Darth Vader. All right. So, we find out, though, that this Kalani tactical, super tactical droid, sorry, wants to play out a war game scenario where because he's all like the droids, by my calculations, we outnumbered the clones by such and such a number. We would have won. You guys only had like a 23-point-some-odd% chance, blah, blah, blah.
Mm. Now, I want you to fight in this game so I can prove my theory right.
Prove my theory right and end the Clone Wars the way I want to, on my terms.
Yeah, but it doesn't really end the Clone Wars because the Clone Wars already end.
He wants that one last
battle. Like, in his mind, it still happens.
He wants that last battle, that last victory that says, hey, I was right.
Yeah.
You know, even though this is not how it happened, it would have happened this way. That's his point. So, rather than be executed, they agree to this.
Yeah, and then they keep Zeb hostage.
Which was funny because, you know, Zeb's like, I'm not going to play your war game, but apparently Lasats were not in the Clone Wars, so therefore it was perfectly fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
Zeb actually in the Clone Wars, though?
I've never heard one way or the other.
Like, so, if you look at, like, him talking about, like, all his older battle stories, isn't that, like, offshoots of the Clone War?
I think it was just as the captain of the guard for the royal family or whatever of Lasat, I guess. But, yeah, I've never heard one way or the other till now whether he was part of the Clone Wars or not. So apparently, though, his race wasn't. So, I don't know. But you have to... There might be something to that, though, because it might have been after the Empire invaded... His home world.
Oh, okay.
I think
is what that it might was. Be
it. Yeah. Now that I think about it. So, But we already talked about the whole programming thing, where, you know, Rex, basically they bring up the whole programming thing. It's like he wants to satisfy his programming, and Rex says, well, I would satisfy mine too, because I was bred.
Yeah.
Going back to the whole Clone Wars being bred. It just, the thing that's kind of bugged me about it is, even if you are programmed to think that way, aren't you want to be, wouldn't you still be an individual at some point, or do you think they've genetically taken that out of them?
I don't know, man.
What, want to do your own thing at some point?
Culturally programmed things can be really hard to kind of get rid of, especially once you kind of go back into old scenarios in which they're actually kind of made.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, you do exist as an individual, but every individual does also live with cultural programming. So, it's one of those things, like, and in his defense, he has a justification reason to rescue Zeb to where he can kind of just give in to the old temptations of it.
Okay. But it just makes me wonder, if they had one, what would the clones have done? Would they have become rebels themselves because they would want to keep fighting? Or
like, do they just go on as like a mercenary group?
Yeah,
just they, like that. All we do is fight. That's what we do.
If keep they, going. You know, if they had gotten a victory. Now, granted, they were decommissioned, I guess. So I just wonder if there are clone mercenaries out there.
Well, I mean, you look at Rex himself. That's not far off.
That Boba Fett
is a before the prequels. Yeah, yeah. Now after with the prequel backstory, unless they go with the whole Boba Fett. Somebody else picking up Boba Fett's helmet kind of thing. Uh-huh. And they might be able to put it back in. But, yeah, I just wonder if there are, like, mercenaries out there that are former clone troopers. And,
yeah,
because
I'm sure
they can't
there are.
Stop fighting.
Well, there'd also be some that would probably move into other areas, depending on, like, what they did when they were actually in the Clone Wars. But, because I'm sure they had different positions where, you know, their different skill sets would come out. But, yeah, I mean, I'm sure a lot of them did. Or you, even when you see like Rex, like when he's introduced in Rebels, he's kind of just retired. So,
right.
I mean, that might be the case for quite a few of them as well.
Okay. All right, let's move on. So Chopper finds a new Phantom. I'm not sure if I really care for this, but he reactivates an old Nemoidian escort shuttle to send his distress signal. This thing has no weapons on it. I do remember being used by the droid army, like General Grievous would get on and off of it, from what I remember in episode 3.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's a basic-looking ship.
It's just a shuttle. There's nothing to it.
It's not the shuttle that they drive from in episode 4. Or not episode 4, but, whatchamacallit, when Luke and all them are like, oh, this is a...
You talking about... Return of the Jedi?
Return of the Jedi.
No, that's the Imperial shuttle with the wings that fold down.
Okay, yeah. Because they're like, we got this shuttle, blah, 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 blah. Right, I'm like, ooh.
Usually they're going to steal an Imperial shuttle, a secret code. No, it's a different shuttle. This is I don't even like the look of this thing, because it's just a big fin.
I didn't either, and I'm like, they're like, it's the new Phantom. I'm like,
the old Phantom's 10 times better.
Well, it was also 10 times smaller.
Yeah.
And it attached to the Ghost.
I've already seen a still image where they actually put this thing on the back of the Ghost. So, it does look very odd looking.
Though. I'm like, because it would make it so big. Like,
yeah, it looks very odd.
It would be just like Voltron, connecting all the pieces.
I've also
except they're maybe in the form of a shark.
And I've also seen a picture of this thing.
Sharknado 5.
Not Sharknado. Oh, Jesus. But I've also seen...
I've never watched it. Was it bad?
Yeah, I've seen one, and it was enough.
Oh, I didn't watch any of them.
You don't. It's not worth your time. I know people love it, but I know it's got a cult following, but yeah, it's bad. Anyway, so I've seen a picture of this thing in Lego form, and it looks like they add weapons to it and stuff, but...
Yeah, well, I would assume they give it, like, at least a decent paint job or something, right?
Yeah, they do.
Make it
they even told Sabine she could paint it.
Right. It's going to get a makeover, and they're going to add weapons to it, I guess, but... It just...
It's makeover week on Rebels.
Or, no, it's like... No, it's the
it's been that season.
Yeah. I prefer to think of it as like...
Angela's got a new haircut. Sabine has a new haircut. They got a new Phantom. They're going to paint
it up. The Phantom got a new haircut.
I prefer to think of it as more of an A-team makeover, where they used to, you know, take cars and put machine guns on them and stuff. Anyway. I'm kind of dating myself there, but...
Phantom pulls in for a Pimp My Ride.
Pimp My Ride. BA comes out and starts... tuning it up from 18. I pity the fool. Anyway,
well, here's an old car, and here's it with a machine gun.
Here, a bunch of
machine guns. An old van, and here's it with a machine gun.
Exactly.
So yeah, I'm sure they'll retrofit it, which kind of fit the MO, I guess, of the Rebels. You know, they're always
salvaging whatever you can.
Yeah, scraping stuff together. I'll final judgment until I see the final product, I guess. But just not crazy about it. We'll see. So. Just thought I'd bring it up real quick. I didn't think it was... I don't know. All right, so the Ghost fighting their way out. We find that Sabine and Hera are on their separate mission to get fuel, I guess. And Governor Price and Agent Callis are giving chase. I guess they tried to ambush them and it failed, it sounds like. We don't see any of this. This is all kind of...
Implied,
and we see... Callis and Price going back and forth. I thought it was kind of interesting to see Callis once again, you know, kind of say, well, I see your plan to ambush them basically fail.
It's pretty much, if I have to be your subordinate, I am going to give you shit all the time.
Yeah. So I just wonder if he helped him again. That would be my guess. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
To get him out of it.
Either that or he just really hates that lady.
Well, I definitely think he hates the lady. And then I just wonder how far it goes. Like, would he continue to help
like
them
just
to screw her?
Like, he's just continuously self-sabotaging?
Yes. Yeah.
I could see it.
Yeah, so I just wonder.
I think my DVR is messing up. I missed that whole scene.
Did you really? Oh, wow. Man.
Well, for some reason...
It wasn't a very long scene.
For some reason, my DVR it looks like it's fast-forwarding, and then all of a sudden it, like, freezes and then jumps.
Oh, really?
So it was probably one of those parts.
Yeah. It sounds like it might have a hard drive going bad or something.
Oh, I got something going wrong with it, I'm sure. So. It does it to me on other episodes. There's other shows, too. Well, especially CW.
Well, anyway, it's just a brief conversation while they're chasing the Ghost.
It lasts maybe a minute tops.
Tops, if that. But yeah, so I just wonder if Callis isn't continuing his sabotage ways.
Yeah, know? I could see it.
Yeah, just to, if nothing else... Even if he doesn't want to help the Rebels.
So, do you think it'd be a thing, like, if he continually self-sabotages it, like, Thrawn would actually notice that?
Yeah, at some
like
point.
Like, eventually?
At some point, yeah. I think it's going to be him versus Thrawn at some point. And I think Thrawn will probably have him beheaded or something. God only knows what. Or used
his
bait.
That'd be an interesting thing to see on Rebels.
Well, they've done it in a movie, so...
Yeah.
You saw him
just
Mace
execution
Windu
style...
Well, they did it in Clone Wars too.
Yeah,
they beheaded the head of the Mandalorians.
He used that Black Knight or whatever.
Yeah, the Black Saber. Yeah. Maul does it.
Mm.
They have somebody stand in the way so you can't see it, but you definitely can see them.
Oh, okay, so it's not like you're just going to see his head roll over and eyes go glazed.
Nothing like that. But
they're going to try to pull the Walking Dead and just use Lucille, bash the guy's head in.
Ah, yes, The Walking Dead. Luckily, I don't watch that. Apparently, that caused a lot of heartache this week, I guess.
Tell you what, man.
A lot of people mad.
It was really crazy. Mad.
Yeah. You lose, like, what, one character a season on Walking Dead?
Oh, no, you lose multiple people.
Oh, okay.
But usually, we're now down to three of the original cast from the first season.
Well, it's kind of left. Like a sixth season?
Yeah. But they've progressively lost people out of their first group when they were trying to migrate through. But they picked up other people along the way. But of the original ones, now you're down to three left. And it's just,
the original three.
Yeah, it's just like, ooh. Because a lot of people thought that they were going to stray away from the book. And the character that died was going to stay on the show because he was such
Isn't
a fan favorite.
Isn't it based off like an actual comic series?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they actually thought that it was going to... he was going to stay on the show because it was so popular. And they still killed him off. And it was just like, what?
They gotcha. So one other thing real quick on that scene that we do find out that they get the Chopper's distress signal before it gets to the Ghost. And they dispatch the Empire after them. So that was the other thing we see. So we know the Empire's on its way.
Yeah, that's why you actually see the Stormtroopers kind of coming in later on.
That's the whole reason for it. All right, so finally we get to the last battle of the Clone War game. We saw a lot of old Clone War strategies deployed by Rex. We saw the sword and shield maneuver, which they had to explain to Ezra, because Ezra's completely clueless.
Mm.
Do what? What sword and shield? And that's
where, well, yeah, but I mean, you know, a lot of the Clone War tactics probably did involve having Jedis working mm-hmm. alongside the clones, and yep. that's not necessarily something you Ezra has to worry about too much in the more stealth-like missions.
Yeah, I also like how they deferred to Rex here because he had more combat experience, obviously.
Yeah, especially against, in this scenario and yeah. acting against droids.
So it was kind of cool to see him call out the thing and just see Kanan and Ezra kind of fight side by side. Mm. So, which I thought was kind of cool. But we also see Rex in that command element very... he's kind of harder on Ezra this whole time. Before, he's just kind of guiding him, and now...
Oh, yeah, man. Now it's, it kind of, well, you need to be a soldier here.
Yeah, it kind of felt like he was having his flashback and he was treating him as if he was a clone.
Right.
Not as a Jedi, because he already had a Jedi.
Right.
So he was treating him more so as a fellow clone that he was in charge of, and he was like, you have to do this on time, you have to do exactly what I tell you, you have to do mm-hmm. this and this and this. Right. And Ezra's like, hold on a second.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, he basically reprimands him. I mean, right. Yeah. Like a drill sergeant would do.
Okay, he's like, we're in this war scenario here. You need to do this as you're told.
Yeah, he's like, precise timing is not a game. This is life and death.
And then he walks away, and Kanan's just like,
it's not you.
It's not you. He's just, he has to do this through his own right. thing. Because you could tell Ezra was going to yell back at him.
Right.
And he was just like, no.
Where Ezra was kind of even hurt, kind of like personally hurt by the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he has to finish this battle his way. And.
Mm.
And that's where Ezra, we see Ezra start putting two to two together and goes, well, so does the battle droid, and he does yeah. as well. So
yeah, because he magically understands.
I know, we'll get to that.
Both sides. Why did you say that name?
Well, don't make it that. Oh, dude.
The super droid's mom's name is Martha.
So, they beat, you know, they eventually, Ezra, you know, they beat back the main droids, and then they are surrounded by the droid Dekaz, a.k.a. the destroyers. You know, this is the rolling balls with the
Yeah, they shields. Were actually the one robots that seemed useful. They had, like, multiple functions that made them actually pretty
They're
decent
really
robots.
They're really the only robots that the Jedi have ever had trouble with, even yeah. from Episode 1 when we yep. first see them.
Well, you have yeah. not only, like, the actual, like, dual guns, you have the quick maneuvers with the rolling kind of mm-hmm. combat abilities, then you have the shield on top of it.
Yeah.
Which is actually pretty functional, and it's amazing more things don't have that.
Well, it's a good question to ask, and it's one that I think people have asked before, is why don't they just make more of these? And my only thing is must be okay. Cost too much to make them.
The shield function of this, mm-hmm. amazing. Like it doesn't seem. I wouldn't assume it cuts off anything like airflow or like it doesn't cut off physical things. It really just blocks blast, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Because
he's able to throw his helmet.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's because it overheated, but still.
Yeah, but he still threw it through the shield.
Right, but I think it's because the shield was failing it. At least that's what I took away from it.
Oh, it didn't look like it. I mean,
because even
not, goes, that we, not that we can know what a failing shield would look like.
Right,
but it looked like it was the same as it usually was.
And again, well, clearly. I only say that because Rex goes, that worked.
Even well, goes, my main question for this is, they have shields that block blast, and they never use them on ships.
Well, okay, so...
And they never use them for stormtroopers.
Well, they have them on ships, it's just you don't see them around the ships. Oh, okay. Because you always hear them, the shields are failing, and blah, blah, blah.
Okay. So, that actually makes sense, because in... Remember we watched whatever episode that is of Star Wars.
Which one? The droids?
The droid battle.
Episode 1 on Naboo?
Is that Episode 1?
Yeah, that's Episode 1.
And the blasts don't make it through the shields,
yeah.
But it can actually walk through
right.
the shields.
You see the droids walk.
So
through.
It just you're right. It does just affect the blast from the guns and stuff. So
yeah.
So that's probably why the helmet went through it.
Could be. I just thought it was funny because Rex goes, "That worked." He's like, "Holy crap!" he shoots him, takes him down. But yeah, that's a fair question though, Aaron. Is I've always thought the same thing is. Why not spend a little extra money and get a few less droids and just use these suckers everywhere?
Well, I mean, even if you're just using, like, a shield, like, if it's a small component, you could have that built into, like, a stormtrooper armor or something, right?
I don't know. I mean, maybe. Yeah.
Well, you gotta think the Gungans were able to use that as actual shields when they had the...
Yeah, that... Well, actually...
Oh, I completely forgot about that.
And the... Whatchamacallit's used it, too. Mandalorians and the Clone Wars. They have little round shields.
Right, so, I mean, they were able to use the shields, so...
Yeah. I don't know, the only thing I could say with the Stormtroopers is again, they're just going for mass quantity, and they don't really care. Their armor sucks. And,
well, they also don't care about them.
Right.
It just shows how the Empire doesn't care about their people.
It's just, you're a number, and you're replaceable. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like some couple places I've worked.
Me too. Well, yeah, but it seems like you would at least have, like, some, like, advanced units, right? Like, where you would implement, like, a lot of these more, like, costly technologies, like... The equivalent of, like, a SWAT team or, like, a...
Like I said...
Like, advanced unit.
The only thing I can justify is the Emperor just doesn't care. You know,
it's fair enough.
I'm going to give you minimal... I'm going to give you armor, but it's going to suck because Ewoks can smash and take you down with it.
And it can be destroyed by pointy sticks and rocks.
Well,
yes. Yeah.
Well, maybe they do have shields then, and they just can't get it with blasters, but, like, physical things, you can, like rocks and twigs and stuff, you can hit them with.
And there might be something...
I don't know. I think they get hit with, like, blasters well, they and do. Go down pretty quickly, too.
And there is a point, there is something that's said in this episode where, you know, Rex gets shot, and he's like, are you okay? He's like, oh, yeah, Generation 1 armor always stands up, meaning... What they've got now sucks, but what I had was top of the line.
Yeah.
So, you know, difference between the Republic and the Empire, you know. So, all right. Okay, so
the end of the Clone War.
Eventually, obviously, they make it to the control room. Rex claims victory. Then he's about to shoot Kalani, the battle droid, and he stops him. And he goes, wait, nobody won. You didn't win. You know, they go, well, the droids overheated. We wouldn't have won. Kanan brought that up. Blah, blah, blah.
Didn't they have, whatchamacallit, at a gunpoint, too?
Zeb, yeah.
Yeah, Zeb was at a gunpoint and, you know, behind the back, kind of. They had a battle droid on him. And... Anyway, they were about to end the conflict, and Ezra's like, well, you didn't win. You didn't win. I never thought about it before. You know, who did win? You know,
it was the Empire won.
Right, yeah. The Jedi were wiped out, the droids were deactivated, and the clones were decommissioned. You guys never got a chance to finish the Clone War, obviously. Who won? Who really won? And then that's when Zeb speaks up and says, well, the Empire's here. And it's like, yeah, that's right, the Empire won. You guys were used. So what do you guys think about the realization of these two old... adversaries coming to terms with the sudden realization that they've been used this whole time, or that they were used?
I actually thought it was kind of stupid.
Okay.
I mean, not because it wasn't like a cool aspect that they would realize that, but the only clone left is Rex.
Well, in the series.
For the most part, yeah. And then the only droids we know of are left is these ones at the base, so it really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things if they know that they were used or not, because... There's so little of them, it doesn't even make, you know...
Also...
Everybody already knows the Empire's bad, so...
Well, I think it's about coming to terms, I guess, or coming to peace with everything you did. I guess somebody who's seen war for years and years and years coming to terms with...
Yeah, but on the one hand, it's just... Unfinished it's business. Just droids.
Right, I understand
the other
one is droids.
So it's Rex.
They should have probably made it more about Rex than the droid, necessarily, but...
Yeah. I mean, I think it was kind of about Rex.
Yeah.
This episode, but for me, there was no real payoff.
Okay.
Well, I mean, there was just a kind of cheesy mechanism when they used Ezra to come kind of create the point. Like, it's not like the super tactical droid, who's apparently uber smart for a droid, doesn't really notice it up to this point. Rex, who's had years after the Clone Wars, never really came to this realization.
Yeah, I think the only thing I can take from that, Aaron, and it's a good point, but the only thing I can counter with would be that they needed somebody that wasn't involved. That didn't have anything at stake. So the Rex was heavily involved, can't see beyond the trees. The droid can't see beyond the trees, he's heavily involved. Even Kanan was involved in the Clone War, so maybe he can't even put all the dots together.
Yeah,
so they
I can see the droid doing that, because the droid was given one directive, was to beat the Republic.
Right.
Right, so that's where his focus is. He's not worried about endgame, who is controlling which side or anything else. He's just worried about beating the Republic.
Winning the battle.
It's one of those things, like, you look after Order 66 and, like, what that was, and then you have that followed by the creation of the Empire. You would think characters like Rex would have a bit more,
right,
like, introspection on, like, the whole, like, series of events.
Well, I think Rex did. I think Rex already understood, but I don't think the the clone. I mean, the droids did.
Mm-hmm. Probably not. I think
even, again, they're droids, so why does it matter? But regardless,
well, I think it's far as them coming to peace, maybe with each other. They can't see beyond the trees. That's the only thing I can take away from it. I agree. It was all kind of put together very quickly and very. They tried to build it, but I think again it comes down to the time limitations. Mm. You know, we've got 22 minutes to tell a story.
Maybe kind of wrap it up.
Maybe it should have been a 2-part episode. I don't know.
What?
Maybe
this a 2-part episode?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can handle 2 filler episodes in a row.
I don't consider this filler. I really don't. But
it's a backstory episode.
It is.
It's a backstory filler.
All right. So, but. It's a love letter to the Clone Wars.
Fans. Oh yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I call it. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so they make the connection, and they decide to join forces against the Empire. Mm-hmm. I like the idea. I liked seeing the battle droids again. We talked about it a little bit coming up against the stormtroopers. I just thought that was.
Mm-hmm. Kind of cool. It. Yep.
Yeah.
It was like new meets old.
Old, yeah, kind of a thing. It was like, oh, cool. Kind of the Star Wars nerd in me going, oh, sweet.
Oh, I just really loved how the droids were like, hey, we're here to greet you.
Hello, greetings, blah, blah, blah.
And they're just talking to themselves. So you know the thing, right?
Yeah. Don't see many of those anymore. I'm surprised they're still working. All right, you know what to do.
Yeah. Like, just like the difference in just personality to meet. Like, each other was just amusing.
Yeah, it was, because they're basically the same. I mean, really, when
you in terms of, like, what they're used for, yeah.
Yeah.
One's a mechanical version, one's a biological version. Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. I also liked how Kalani planned to use the Jedi to deflect the blaster fire at the bombs.
Because he knows how bad they shoot.
Yeah, he already knows.
That was hilarious. He goes... We're really bad shots.
you guys deflect them.
Well, you can, because you can aim better than we can.
How does that work?
That he knows that limitation. That he knows he has to use them in mass quantity to get them,
like,
to be.
Well, you know, it's funny because when you're watching, like, the Clone War, you're watching the battle, the Gungan battle, or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was watching the same thing. I'm like, where the hell are they shooting? Because you can see them going, like, everywhere. Like, where the fuck are they shooting at?
It's just mass quantity.
They were Gen 1 robots. They didn't have any aiming function.
Well, no.
Pull trigger, pull trigger.
Just millions of them. That's how they...
My other thing I was wondering, when they did combine forces,
yeah,
and they realized that they both had a common enemy,
yeah,
why wasn't the goal to get all the droids together to bring them back to the rebels, and have the droids fight with the rebels against the Empire?
Why not use the super tactical droid to help fight the Empire?
Well, he kind of,
and because the super tactical droid is like, I mean, that's a little farther along here, but it's
less than 1% chance.
Yeah, he's like, we need to part ways. Like, well, what?
Well, it's because he's made up his mind.
But you know what I mean? I'm like. It would have been cool to see all the droids fight with them, too. Even if it was just on one wave of one battle, to see those droids fighting with the rebels against the Empire.
Yeah. You kind of got it a little bit. But, yeah, I understand what you're saying. And I wouldn't be surprised if down the line, if he starts to recalculate, and this is really for later in the podcast, but I'll go ahead, that he figures out that maybe the rebels can win and maybe he'll join them later. I don't know.
No, I don't think so. I don't think he's gonna do that, but I think it's the against all odds. That's the whole rebel thing.
Mm-hmm, true.
Against hope, all odds. Yeah.
Yeah,
you only had a so many percent chance. I mean, they're even doing it in the new Rogue One. They bring up the percentage. Don't ever tell me percentages.
Don't tell me the odds.
Yeah, you know. So I mean, I think that's what they were trying to do there.
Okay, that's cool.
That's their tie-in to Rogue One.
Yeah.
They mentioned statistics.
Statistics. It's the mathematical equations that ties us together.
I just thought that this whole scene was, again, cool. Even Pablo Hidalgo, because I watched the Star Wars Rebels Recon show, even he said it felt like playing with two different toy lines coming together. Like, you're in the sandbox as a kid, and you got... You know, G.I. Joes and Star Wars figures and stuff.
It's kind of like, well, these droids have never really interacted with any of these characters.
With the Empire, I thought it was cool to see the destroyers go up against the Walker. That was kind of cool. That reminds me of the Star Wars strategy game I play. Because if you're a rebel, then you get old Clone Wars stuff. So I have that little robot, and he sits there, and he fires at walkers and stormtroopers. So it's kind of a neat little...
I have no idea what game you're talking
about. Me neither.
If I could remember it off the top of my head, as usual, I go blank when I start talking about things like this. But anyway, it's a Star Wars strategy game. You can play it on your phone.
Oh, it's an app.
Yeah, it's an app. Oh. So, but it's a fun little game to play. Star, yeah. I still can't find it. So
you have a lot of shit on your phone.
I have way too much shit on my phone. All right, so leaving Agamar. Both Rex and Kalani agree that the Clone War is over. They praise Ezra because he brought it to an end. He did what no senators or Jedi or battle droids could altogether could do. He ended the...
Anyone involved in the Clone Wars in any way, yeah.
Yeah. And I guess my thing is, of course, you know, of course they were, because they were being coerced by Palpatine the whole time. I mean, they're being played against each other. They just couldn't see it.
Yeah, you know? It's a really cheesy scene, and it's probably one of the worst moments of the episode, realistically.
Again, I think it has to do with time, maybe, but...
Like, don't get me wrong, I can understand you saying, like, oh, you had a different perspective on it, it allowed us to see this from a new light, but it's just overhyped in a way where it's like, that's going a bit far.
But this does beg a question, though, about Palpatine / Sidious. His name's never brought up. I don't even think they even mentioned the Emperor. I wonder if it's even common knowledge yet that Palpatine, the Emperor, is a Sith Lord to the common people, or even to the rebels at this point, because they...
Well, I mean, even by the time you get to A New Hope, is it really considered common knowledge? Like, I know, like, the Jedis themselves know, but...
Right. But you would think by now that it would got out amongst the rebels that he's like, a Sith Lord. And
you never really hear, like, anyone outside of, like, the Rebellion really talk about the Emperor. And even in the Rebellion itself, it's more focused on the Death Star or Vader or specific individuals they have to interact with.
Yeah, it just makes me... I think the Rebels themselves at this point don't even know. I think Ahsoka has probably put it together because of Vader. But I don't even know if they're necessarily sure that Vader is Anakin yet, other than maybe what they... You know, because I don't think Ahsoka ever said anything to him about it.
No, I don't think she did.
So
it'd really just be Ahsoka that might be able to piece it together.
Piece it together. You know, that, and obviously Yoda knows, obviously Obi-Wan knows. But, you know, beyond that, and I guess, what's his name? Senator Organa, who's Princess Leia's stepdad, knows, because he was there. But other than those guys, that's it. And that and R2-D2. So, all right, so again, Kalani, less than 1% chance I'm out of here. They part ways. Pablo Hidalgo also did say he thinks he might lend himself out, as far as, like, he might lend himself out to the Hutts, because the question was, what's he going to do? Where's he going to go? His programming's technically fulfilled.
Yeah.
So what's he going to do? So
find an alternative purpose in life, sort of thing.
So I could kind of see that. I don't know.
Because you retire on the beach with a drink with an umbrella in it. Send postcards.
Can of oil in his hand. So. And Pablo also said, again, that he thought he might rejoin the Rebellion after the first Death Star blows up. It might change his mind. So just throw that in. What do you guys think? Do you think that...
Brian, I can see him joining the Hutts. That would be an interesting kind of, like, variant of going into.
Kind of.
Like, don't get me wrong, you'd have to, like, change, like, how his programming works, because, I mean, you wouldn't necessarily be dealing with, like, individual battles as much as just...
Advisory role is what it'd have to be, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like a think tank organization, maybe.
But it'd be an interesting switch.
I could see him, like, right next to Jabba the Hutt, whispering in Jabba's ear, you know. There's only a 25% chance that he's got a detonator. I don't know. Something like that. All right. I also, real quick at the end, I like the ending. The Star Wars Rebels graphic was done in the Clone War style, and for a brief second before Disney XD put on their preview, they were playing the Clone Wars music. So, again, a nice little wrap up to the Clone Wars, and nice, maybe a nice way to throw a bone to the Clone Wars fans that still feel like they never got an ending to the Clone Wars.
Because there was, what, like a season or two that was more or less planned that got cut off?
Yeah, that we never saw. And
so here's your end of the Clone Wars.
Yeah, here's your ending. Maybe not what you wanted, but here it is.
Because once again, no one's better than Ezra.
And again, we hear about the Phantom needing a new paint job. I don't know about this new Phantom. We'll see. We'll see. All right, well, we've definitely gone over this over nauseam, and we're up to 48 minutes, so let's just go right to final thoughts and grades. All right, Aaron, I'll give you the first final thought and grade, sir.
I'd probably give the episode, like, a C. Had some fun moments, like, especially seeing the droids and stormtroopers interacting is kind of amusing, but it's also kind of slow. It's a little over the top and cheesy. And I just think it's one of the lower episodes for the season.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll actually go with a B+, because to me it's a love letter to the Clone Wars fans again. I think they're throwing a bone to us. I think they're saying, you know, here's nostalgia, a little bit of nostalgia thrown in. I think it's good backstory for Rex and flushing out that. I like how they used Ezra as the outside character looking in at the whole situation. You know, so to me, it's not the best episode, no, but I don't think it was a horrible episode either. So I give it a solid B+. Brian?
I'm going to go with a C as well.
Really?
Okay. I thought it was an average episode. To me, it felt like filler.
Really? Oh, I definitely
would. Yeah, there was... Like I said, it was the droids, so they served no purpose, because even at the end of the episode, the droids went away, so we still end up with no droids helping the rebels, and so it was basically all for naught except for to show us that Rex has PTSD, and...
And they got a flying box.
And they got a flying box that they can call a Phantom. I didn't care for the episode all that much. I mean, there was a couple cool scenes where they did team up with the droids to battle the walkers and stuff. They liked that part.
Yeah.
But... For the most part, yeah, it's just a C.
Yes, yeah, okay, that's fair. I like the nostalgia of it again. I was a big Clone Wars fan, so maybe that had something to do with it, maybe not. I don't know. But, alright, so where can you find 4 Midwest Guys? It's real easy. Go to google.com, just type in the number 4 Midwest Guys. You can find our Facebook page there. You can find our link to our Twitter page there. You can also find our iTunes account that way, I believe. We're also on Stitcher. Just about every other online app out there, we're on there. OneCast, we're on that as well. If we're not, reach out to me and I'll make sure we're out there. We also now have our YouTube channel where we're posting all our audio podcasts as well. We're multiple avenues, obviously the one that you already found us on, and then obviously through Podbean as well, which is where the hosting is done. So however you found us up, make sure that you add us to your feed, take our feed and put it, whether it's through iTunes or whatever, subscribe to our feed and make sure you get all our podcasts, because we do not just Star Wars Rebels, we do Marvel DC Kings, which deals with everything that is the comic book movies, comic book TV shows, etc. And we also we did a whole season of Game of Thrones on season 10, and we do a lot of other different stuff. We've got Doctor Strange is coming up, we'll do a review of that. We've got Rogue One coming up. We also do a lot of Star Wars breaking news on that. So lots of other podcasts, lots of other programming out there, so make sure you reach out to us. All right, Brian, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely. And Aaron, thanks for joining us, sir.
Yeah, no problem.
And this is B. Willie saying, may the Force be with you always.